cleanse my heart, make me whole. Create in me a pure heart, O God. Renew in me your spirit, O God. Wash away.
I want to talk to you this morning under the subject of why a triumphant entry. Why a triumphant entry? This whole scene that we celebrate with this day is kind of an antithesis of what Jesus did throughout his entire ministry. Every time people turned and started elevating him, he would say, come on, let's go to another place. He did everything over that 3-year period of time of ministry. He did everything that he could possibly do to keep them from lifting him up to become king. And all of a sudden, on this particular day, just a few days before the Passover, when Jerusalem was crowded, many estimate with 2.5 million people collected for that Passover feast there in Jerusalem. So the streets and the place would have been just packed out with people from all over the known world at that time. And Jesus took that occasion to allow them to recognize him as king. Kind of amazing. I want you to read with me, if you would. If you have your Bibles, take them, Matthew chapter 21. And we will read this account together. And it is also up on the screen, I believe. There it is. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent 2 disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the way, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? The crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Come on, let's pray this morning. Father in heaven, we thank you so very much for the honor and privilege that is ours of gathering together in your name. Allow us this morning to hear from you. My study, the things that we have prepared, Lord, they are before you. Have your way in each of our lives. Holy Spirit, speak to us according to your will, according to your purposes. We give you the authority in our lives right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Why a triumphant entry? Why a Palm Sunday? I want to get right after it this morning and kind of break this up into 3 pieces so that we can sort of chew on it a little bit. The first one is that there was a triumphant entry that Scripture would be fulfilled. You know, Jesus was very concerned that all of the Scripture be fulfilled. That the words of prophecy that had been spoken about him and about his purpose in coming, that all would be fulfilled. He didn't come to accomplish his own tasks. He's the perfect example of a life lived according to the will of God. He said he didn't speak his own words. He didn't go where he wanted to go. He did what the Father directed him to do. You say, well, how did the Father direct him? The Father directed him by the power of the Holy Spirit. the same Spirit that Jesus sent to dwell in us. Thank you, Lord. John 17:4, Jesus said in his high priestly prayer, I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work that you gave me to do. What an incredible statement. He is saying to the Father in prayer, I've done what you asked me to do. I've completed the work that you sent me here to do. Now, this was just moments and steps from the cross. So that was the absolute completion of Jesus' work. But he is there in those moments to do what the Father desired. In John 4:34, he said, my food, Jesus said, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. What a life model we have before us in Jesus. Boy, it's easy, isn't it, to get caught up in what we want, in our own agenda for our lives, to start pursuing our stuff. Well, I want. He said, well, God wants to give me the desires of my heart. You're right. And he wants to be the desire of your heart. And as you place your life in him, I know you may think, well, you know, if I just turn my life over to the Lord, it's going to be such a dull life, you know, and there's just, you know, I won't be able to experience the fullness and the enjoyment of life. You don't know God. You get to see the miraculous and the powerful and the glorious. Who knows what he may reveal to you? Who knows where he may take you and how he might use you if you allow your life to be in his hands? Jesus did. And a 3-year ministry changed the world. How incredible is that? Look at his life and work. His birth. Isaiah 7:14. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Matthew 1:18-25, just a capsule of that, says Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. Just in his coming, he was fulfilling the word of God. His childhood, Hosea 11:1, I called my son out of Egypt. Matthew 2:13-15, Joseph took Mary and Jesus into Egypt and stayed there until the death of Herod. His ministry, Isaiah 61:1-2, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort those who mourn. Jesus, having just read that passage out of Isaiah, in Luke 4:16, says, and Jesus began to say to them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. In his preaching, in Psalm 78:2, it says, I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. Matthew 13:34-35, all these things Jesus spoke unto the multitudes in parables, and without a parable he spoke not unto them. God ordered it, God ordained it, God prophesied it through the prophets, and Jesus lived it out. The triumphant entry, Zechariah 9:9, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king comes unto you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on an ass, upon the colt and foal of an ass. God's word came forth, and Jesus walked it and fulfilled it in power, in glory. Why a triumphant entry? Well, because God said there would be a triumphant entry. We could talk this morning at great length about the shadows that were cast here of a multitude of things. The fact that though he was coming in to conquer sin and could have ridden in on a stallion, and that would have been the character and the nature of what he was doing, he rides in on a donkey with a colt following behind, this this symbol, if you will, of humility. It's just the contrast, but yet the meaning. Because he came not to exalt himself. Even in the triumphant entry, he wasn't there for a Polaroid moment. I know, Polaroid, what's that? An iPhone moment. He was there to do the will of the Father. He came humbly and offered himself. That leads me then to the second point this morning, that the triumphant entry was to signal the triumph of the cross. This whole setting was orchestrated by Jesus. It was the symphony of redemption. And Jesus was the conductor. Oh my goodness. You can hear him tap the baton and say, now let it begin. As he stepped up and said, go. There's been preparations made in the hearts of individuals that have set the course of this day. Go. Go and get the donkey. Well, what if the man doesn't want us to take his donkey? Tell him the Lord. Oh, I wish we had some more written down here, don't you? Come on, think with me what that would have been about. Maybe it was a dream the night before. Some way, somehow, something had taken place in the man's life that owned the donkey. You know, kind of just dream with me. Now, we're just dreaming. We're outside the context of the Bible. But just dream with me for just a minute about that man's life, about how God impacted that man's life in the days before this event, in preparation that the will of God would be done on that day. What does it take for a man to offer his donkey to a stranger? What kind of an event would it have taken in that man's mind, in that man's life, for him to say to strangers when they walked up and said, the master wants your donkey, for him to go, yeah, take my donkey, and the colt can follow along too. We don't have that in there, but I kind of can't help but wonder if this man already had been dispatched of the Lord, had already been moved upon. In other words, you know, he was tuned. He was tuned in preparation of the symphony that was getting ready to be played. The conductor turned to him, you know, first chair. This guy had first chair. Well, not really. Now think about it. You know, he was the first one who would make this thing happen. What if he said no? Kind of ruins the whole entry, doesn't it? Ever think about it? Mr. Donkey Owner. We don't know his name, but God had been working in Mr. Donkey Owner's life, tuning him up. He may not have known because, you know God. How many know God? He doesn't tell you all the pieces, does he? Huh? So, I mean, what would it have looked like of him getting this donkey owner's life ready for that moment? Tuning him for that moment where the disciples dispatched by Jesus going to his house, not just any house, not just any person, but to a person that God was already tuning for this incredible moment to be part of his redemptive plan. You see, Pastor, how do you speculate on this? Because, see, I've watched God for a lot of years. I've watched him tune people. I've watched him get them ready for something that he was going to do in their lives. Now, see, you can say, well, you know, this guy had an insignificant part. He had an intricate part. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords was going to make a dramatic entrance into Jerusalem. The scripture had already been written that he would ride in on a donkey. One donkey needed. With baby donkey. Come on. You see, this thing was ordered and set down, and that man prepared and tuned and ready. And when the maestro Jesus began the symphony, he said, go find the man. What if he won't? Tell him the Lord wants him. I got a feeling, may not be true, I got a feeling that that man was part of the crowd. Huh? Anybody that has had God tune you for an event, you know, he would have followed that donkey. So I got to see what this is all about. My goodness. He may have had an incredibly sleepless night that said simply to him, be ready to send your donkey with whoever asks. The one who's in charge of your night times, the one who's in charge of your sleep, the one who's in charge of your dreams has prepared this moment. So you say yes. There's no argument here. He sends the donkey. Jesus was in full control of his passion. I hear people say, they killed Jesus. No, they didn't kill Jesus. They didn't have the power to take his life. They could beat, they could bruise, they could cut, they could do everything they wanted to do to that body. But they could not take his life. He had to lay it down. And he did it in the moment and in the time of his choosing. Of his plan. He predicted his crucifixion in Matthew 26 and said, as you know, the Passover is 2 days away and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified. Wasn't any mystery going on here? The disciples, Now, before you're too hard on the 12, remember the one. You. How much preparation that the Lord has done and is doing in our lives continually for yet another symphony that is about to be played. This same Jesus that you have seen go into heaven will so come in like manner as you have seen him go. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. How much of that has settled in upon you and realized that the Lord is tuning a people, readying for a triumphant entry into the sky. You see, he's still preparing people. He's still working on his plan. He's still using men and women. He is still alive. He is still powerful. He is still working out the plan of redemption. This triumphant entry signaled the beginning of it all. Don't you know how shocked the disciples would have been? I mean, because they've had several wrestling matches, if you will, of who was the greatest, who was going to sit next to him in the kingdom. All of these things, you know, those are important things we've got to figure out. If we're heading to greatness, we've got to know who's the next greatest. So these boys were really super concerned. And every single time that they could see greatness within their grasp, the people are wanting to make Jesus king, Jesus said, come on, let's go to another town or village, and goes walking off. And if they're going to follow him, they got to follow him. It's like, but, but. And then all of a sudden he goes, go get a donkey. We're heading into to Jerusalem when there's 2.5 million people there. Huh? Come on, you can start reading between the lines a little bit. Yes. Finally. And so Jesus starts talking about things like crucifixion. Whoosh. Huh? Triumphant entry on Sunday. On Tuesday, he's talking crucifixion. Which one did they choose to pay attention to? Triumphant entry, of course. So how's this all going to happen? How's he going to become king? How are we going to establish all this thing? We need to get this whole thing settled down and get it all in order. All he wants to do is pray. Touch people's lives. This is not making sense. There's a little lady comes up and pours oil on his feet, kisses them. The disciples are all sitting there, and the leader of the household thinks to himself, if he knew who this woman was, he wouldn't let her touch him. So Jesus responds out loud, Simon, there are two individuals, and one has a huge debt and the other has a little debt, and both of them are forgiven. Which one will love the most? Oh, Master, of course, it would be the one who's been forgiven much. Well, Simon, when I came into your house, you didn't offer me any water to wash my feet. But ever since I sat down here, this little lady has been washing them with her tears and kissing my feet. You did not bring any oil and anoint my head, but she has poured the oil on me. And what she has done will be spoken of her as long as this gospel is preached. Because she was preparing me for my burial. Huh? You know what we don't have in this story? We don't know how that woman got to where Jesus was. How did she know to bring her alabaster box? How did she gain entrance, an evil woman, to Simon's house? Jesus is orchestrating. Come on. The beauty, the awesomeness, the clarity, the perfection of redemption is all being laid out by Jesus. The Passover meal in Matthew 26. Go into the city and a certain man and tell him the teacher says, my appointed time is near. I'm going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house. I'm coming home to dinner with you today, brother. Is that okay? It's only okay if the Lord's been orchestrating it. Bringing it all together. Most scholars believe that that place that they ate the Last Supper was also the place where the 120 sat and waited on the fullness and the power of the Holy Spirit. It became church, became Holy Ghost Central, First Assembly. You see, this triumphant entry signaled the beginning of the perfection of redemption as our God who reigns unfolded it. Finally, this morning, there was a triumphant entry to signify the entrance, His entrance into the hearts of men. This crowd was filled with seekers. Seekers. Look at their question. Who is this? You know, I'm always amazed. Yesterday, there were two different demonstrations in downtown Indianapolis, and there's one this afternoon at 1:30. It doesn't take much of anything to get a crowd of people together to march and carry a placard that they didn't make and to shout. It really doesn't. You can get a crowd of people to do most of anything. Many of these people that had palm branches in their hands didn't have a clue who Jesus was. All they knew was, Hosanna! Save. There's a cause. Save us from the tyranny. Save us from Rome. Save us from this government that is oppressing us and making us slaves. Save us, save us, save us. I don't care who. I don't care what. Save us. And by the way, who is this guy? I mean, that's what it says. Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Who is this guy? It doesn't match up. The Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. There was the perceived moment. Even in the lives of all of the disciples, they thought that Jesus was getting ready to sit on the throne and conquer Rome. Jesus came to make entrance into the hearts and lives of men and women. A kingdom of hearts. The crowd was filled with shouters. The crowd that went ahead and those that followed shouted. Isaiah 52, 7 and 8 says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Listen. Your watchmen lift up their voices. Together they shout for joy. When the Lord returns to Zion, they will see it with their own eyes. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's what Paul says to the church at Rome. What Jesus desires is to make a triumphant entry into our lives. He was signifying and anticipating the day when men would open their hearts to receive him. Listen to what Acts says. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and others, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Why did Jesus have a triumphant entry? Yes, because there was a scripture to be fulfilled. There was a signal to start the triumph of the cross. The triumphant entry came to signify the entrance into the hearts of men and women. But here's the bottom line. It was for you and me. He came for you and me. He came to die so that we could live. Hallelujah. Stand with me. Why was there a triumphant entry? For you, for me, for whosoever will call on the name of the Lord and be saved. It's easy for us to come up with our own agenda and our own reasons for being in this house on a Sunday morning in March. Like the fellowship, enjoy the worship. Jesus came here for you. He came here to make a significant difference in your life. He came to be your king. And this morning, he wants to make a triumphant entry into your life. Maybe, just maybe, you have been like the man with the donkey, in that the Lord has been tuning you and preparing you for this moment. What does that look like? Well, his Holy Spirit may be speaking to you. Maybe you've heard songs. Maybe you've heard other sermons. Maybe you've had somebody witness to you, or someone has touched your life along the way. All of that's just like that man with the donkey. Is the Lord tuning you for the day of redemption? He's been preparing your heart. And today's the day. Today's the day that King Jesus would like to make entry into your life, change your life forever. Wouldn't you agree that Jesus coming to Jerusalem there for this particular Passover, that it was a moment, unparalleled moment in history, when Jesus would come and offer himself as a sacrifice for the sins of all mankind? That was a pivotal moment in history. Can I tell you that just such a moment is today? Today. Where he wants to make entrance into your life and my life and be the king. Be the king.